punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Currently, weather in Elk City, Oklahoma at the studio is 73 degrees with the Nathan Brewer dew point at 65. Winds are out of south-southeast at 12 miles an hour with wind gust up to 16 miles an hour. Some of our listening area towns, temperatures, Hollis is 76, Cheyenne 71, Butler 76. Looks like the hot spot is Weatherford at 80. Bessie, where I just come from, is 76 degrees, and Altus is 77. Hey, how about that rain? I know not everybody in the listening area. Looks like it was basically from kind of I-40 south, in that general direction, but a bunch of my friends up in Roger Mills County didn't get much, but I had 1 inch at my house across the river. My landlord, he had 9/10. Some other reports was down around Trigger, south of Elk City, on the way to Retrop. They got around 7/10. Mangum, big town of Mangum. Almost 3 inches. They got the first storm that came through yesterday afternoon. I was watching it. I was hoping it'd ease on up to Willow, but it cut across towards Granite, and I think it fizzled out by the time it got there. But they got 3 whole inches. That was great. So all you Einsteins out there with your IQ of 160 to 180 that dusted in your wheat and your Trudecal and your rye, you're looking pretty smart today in most of the areas down here. But anyway, it was good. Great rain. It was just, man, God blessed us. Well, I went over to the Marvin Clemming Research Station this morning, OSU. Come to find out, that's their second field day that they've had out there since 89 or 90, since they got that. Professor Paul Beck from OSU, he put the deal on, him and some other people from OSU. They was more orange out there than an OSU-OU football game going on out there this morning. But anyway, but there was some I'm going to briefly go over some of the topics that they covered before I had to leave. They were on the neon weather. I guess it's not a weather station, it's a science research station, and I'll have more on that in one of my future shows. So, but I'll just go over kind of what we went over there. But before I get started on talking about what was going on at the Marvin Clemming station over at Sayre today for lunch, for all you guys that love calf fries, southbound, they're special today, is calf fries. And I just there's a bunch of old codgers always in there in the morning. They're anywhere from 65 to 80 years old, but they were all trying to get me to read Jerry Nine's deal that he had in the Penny News that wasn't readable on the radio on the air. So I kind of made something up to go with it. So you guys go in there and have you some calf fries today, but make sure you bring protection with you, according to Jerry Nine. Bring some protection with you in case you get into some of those microorganisms that while you're eating those calf fries. So anyway, have fun with that, guys. And Jen and Ashley and those guys that work over there at Southbound, I know they have a great lunch special in there every day. But calf fries, come on, you guys got to get over there and get you some before they run out of that. But one of the most interesting things I seen or heard, listened to this morning over at the Clemming Research Station was by Laura Goodman. She's the assistant professor and rangeland extension specialist for OSU. And they've been doing all kinds of interesting, I guess you want to call them experts or experiments or whatever, but there was a, they did a lot of, for the 10 years, they did patch burning grazing in different areas over there at the Clemmy Ranch. And that's 1,524 acres for you guys that don't know, but that's a pretty good size pasture deal they got going on over there. And what was interesting is the gain cattle made with patch burning. And this chart, it's hard to show you on the radio, but it's pretty interesting of how they went in there and did short grass and then the prairie grass, the tall grass they call it, and they went in there. But they've done, according to what she said this morning, there's been over 130 studies done at 96 sites all over, mainly the central middle part of the United States, because that's where your prairie grasses and stuff are. And there was a there's a lot of effects from past burning that was good, mainly for livestock, plants, pollinators, wildlife, the whole nine yards. One of the interesting things that she talked about, the most interesting thing that I've seen of, was the effect of herbicide control. And mainly the two weeds they were after was the broomweed and ragweed. And it talked about the gains of stalkers on pastures where they sprayed herbicide, where they didn't spray herbicide. And from her, actually her final statement was that it really doesn't, and we're talking about native grasses. We're not talking about Bermuda grass here. So don't anybody start texting in and giving me heck on the radio, because I don't know what I'm talking about. This is native grass. Basically, you're wasting your money with herbicide control. And it's, I mean, they've got 10 years of studies here, and they got proof on paper right here in front of me about it. And so you're just wasting your money. She said basically burning was the best way, and woodland control was the main thing that caught, not ragweed and broomweed, but woodlands, cedars, the whole nine yards, was the major cause of the prairie grass decline. But the woody plant control would be your best bet on that. One deal she's got in here on a management of forage production on native pastures, where you don't have cedars, you get 4,730 pounds of forage production per acre. And that's annually 8 acres for a 1,000-pound cow, or 10 cows on 80 acres. When you got 80% cedars on your property, it's 1,300 pounds, a fourth of what it was with no cedars on it. And that's annually 27 acres per 1,000-pound cow, 3 cows on 80 acres where you got cedars. So that was pretty interesting. And then there's another one that was she talked about, and it's a rangeland analysis platform. And there's actually, let me see where that was. There's an app for it. It's called, just go to www.rangelands.app, and you can actually get in there and draw out a diagram of your pasture and put in your boundaries, your pasture size, your cattle's estimated cattle size, estimated intake, and how long they will graze. And they did one on this unit here at Clemmy, and it was 150 acres. Average size of the animal while grazing the land unit was 1,300 pounds. The average intake percentage body weight that each animal consumes each day was 2.5. And then the numbers of days the livestock will be grazing on this land was 365. And they figured out that each cow weighing 1,300 pounds ate 2,213 pounds. There was 2,213 pounds of forage on each acre. But here's the thing she pointed out specifically, was that no amount of fertilizer, no amount of herbicide to control weeds and blah, 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 was that Mother Nature is the biggest thing. Because if you look at her chart that she made from 2000 to 2020, starting in 2010, those bars started dropping. 2011, the bar was way low, and it stayed low. And then in 2015, that's when we got our rain, the drought ended. The bars went higher than they ever been on forage. And they've stayed pretty good, except for like 2018, when we had that other mini drought, if you want to call it, or medium drought. The forage come down, but it never got down as low as it was in the 2010 to 14 deal. But that was really interesting. So when I come back, I'll talk a little bit more about it. And before I go to break, I got some Steve Warner tickets to give away. It'd be October 2nd at 8 o'clock at the Sugar Creek Casino. So the first person to text in with their name and tell me what Southbound over at Sayre's having for lunch today, what their special is, I'll give you a free set of tickets to the Steve Warner contest. And keep listening, because I'm going to give another set away towards the end of the show. So anyway, it's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
We had commercial cattle, and as a commercial producer, you're always looking for a place to buy bulls that are going to work well for your program. And as we struggled to do that, we decided to raise our own. And so we started producing the traits that we were looking for to buy in bulls. Lori White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Benji White, B&L Red Angus, blredangus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
We learned in grade school 1 plus 1 equals 2 and 2 plus 2 equals 4. So what does quality feed equal? Results you can be proud of. It's simple math with a little common sense. Barnes Feed Service in Hobart, Oklahoma has done the math and mixed years of common sense into their feeds so you'll get the results you deserve. And remember, their name ends with service, something they take pride in every day. See their ads in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale at Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Register at lmaauction.com or download the LMA Ringside app. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and we do appreciate it.
Every trust is a little bit different. Some of them, those assets may need to grow because they've got to take care of somebody for a lot of years. Sometimes those assets need to maintain, or they need to just support a certain lifestyle. There's lots of different objectives for trusts, and what we do is we determine what the objective is for each trust, and then we do our very best to manage the assets in that trust to achieve that objective. I'm Nan Shiblum, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust in Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, did I get some responses? Let's see here. Let's start with, I actually have two winners. The texts come in at the same time, believe it or not, on the KCO Ag text line. So we got, let's start with Audie Flowers. You got a set of tickets, and you guys can pick them up at the front desk. I'll put your name on them, and you can pick them up after my show's over, anytime after my show, today or tomorrow or Friday, whenever. And then who else was the winner? Let's see here. Come on, bring it up. Oh, Christy Lambright, if I say that right. Krista Lambright, you got a set of tickets, so congratulations. I had some more responses. My favorite one was this one, wherever it went. Let's see here. Man. Anyway, we'll skip that one. Also, that subject I was talking on to that Laura Goodman from OSU puts on, you can gentlemen text in, and I'm going to give this information out. If you need any prescribed fire help, you can call Greg Allen at 580-497-6548. He is the Oklahoma Prescribed Fire Coordinator for Western Oklahoma. And thanks for texting that information. I heard of you, didn't have your information, but I do now. Appreciate you texting that in, too. And then we got somebody else. You can give them to... Oh, Audie Flowers wants to give them to someone else. I just wanted to play. Okay, no problem. Well, I'll give it to the next one. Caressa. Is that right? Nope. Yep. Where'd she go? Anyway, I got you. Caressa, you get the other set of tickets and wrong number. Sorry. What? What are you doing to me, Caressa? It's wrong number. All right, everybody's having fun on the internet today. So anyway, I know I got one set of tickets given out, and that's to Krista Lambright. If I say that right, I hope I say Krista Lambright. Anyway, you got a set of tickets to the Steve Warner Texas concert coming up pretty quick. Right now, our current weather is 75 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point, 66. 24-hour rainfall in Elk City was 0.79, so they got a good rain here. Winds out of southeast at 10 miles an hour, gusting up to 70. Well, like I said, that deal over there this morning was great. There was a good crowd there. Paul Beck, who's the big dog up there at the for the animals up there, he put on a good deal too. And I'm going to briefly go over what they were talking about on the cattle deal. So what they do is they had different types of cattle, calves on pasture, in one pasture. The next pasture, they'd have calves in there with a supplement feed, a distiller cube supplementation going on. And some of them they did towards the end of their cycle before they shipped them off to the feed yards. Some of them they started with them from the word get-go when they went through there. And it was a really good deal. And one of the things I noticed that they really pointed out is these distiller grain cubes that were 7/8 in diameter. What they did was they didn't have to feed them in troughs. And he come across some numbers, and the ones I kind of briefly wrote down was that when you're feeding ground feed, like in bunkers and stuff like that, or troughs or whatever, they did a study at OSU where they put some artificial tarp turf underneath in the troughs, and they were feeding the calves in there, and when they got done feeding them, I don't know what he didn't say the time period they did it. They figured up they lost 15% of their feed by feeding in troughs with just ground up matter or small pellets or whatever. They lost 15%. And if you're feeding out in the big bunkers like feedlots do, they figure you lose 20% of your feed. By it's ground up and the wind's blowing and you see the dust flying around when those trucks are dumping into those troughs. So they went to these cubes and their percentage, they didn't know exactly, but it's really small, like 5% or less, but it's 5%, 4%, 3% less. And they were feeding these cubes out on the ground out there at the Clemmie Ranch, and these cubes were big. Cows are getting it. They lose a little bit in the dirt and grass, but not a whole lot. And that was one of the interesting subjects that he pointed out to. But he will I'll get an email, a website. They just finished up this report yesterday, so it's not posted yet. So I got a copy of it here in my hand. But at the end, he says what they noticed was that the results that implied that, that when they took them to the feedlot, now they take all these cattle. This thing was sponsored. The feed that was provided was from Master Hand Milling Company. And they took these calves to the feedlot at Buffalo. They did them. All of them, the ones that they just had on pasture and just put supplements at the end of their cycle, start feeding them supplements, and then the ones that they had that supplemented all the way through their stay at the Clemmie Ranch. But basically, the ones that they supplemented through the whole thing with the cube supplementation, during grazing allowed for fewer days on feed during finishing. And I think he said, if I remember right, 15 to 20 days less in the feedlot on the ones that were on the supplement, but it didn't negatively affect subsequent feedlot performances on carcass or on their performance. So that was pretty interesting. As soon as this is posted to a website, I'll give you guys a site where you can read read this whole thing. Yeah, like I said, it was very, very interesting. A lot of people out there. I didn't see many folks from Beckham County except for myself and Zach Henderson, if there was somebody there from Beckham County. There was guys there from Wichita, Custer, Kiowa County. It was a great turnout, and I appreciate being invited out to that and hope to go to another one of those. But when I get back, I'm going to be talking about our grain prices, cotton prices, what's happening with the world going on, and we'll just see what happens. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, September 24th. 1,915 head were sold. 15 head of steers at 396 brought 185. 3 at 471 brought 168. 7 at 512 brought 164. 4 at 553 brought 135. 11 at 641 brought 124. 13 at 817 brought 125. 11 head of heifers at 387 brought 142. 10 at 532 brought 135.50. 5 at 604 brought 122. 12 at 652 brought 130. 22 at 782 brought 130. 11 at 960 brought 126. Butcher cows were 16 to 77. Bred cows 310 to 1110. Butcher bulls 60 to 90. Pairs brought 1200 to 1310. Elk City Livestock Auction, South Highway 6 in Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
When we're all on the same page, things run smoother, work gets completed faster, life is easier. And that's exactly what advanced technology from Valley does. IconX brings all of your pivots together into one manageable network with full remote capabilities, regardless of the brand. Get the most out of your pivots at a fraction of the cost of a full panel upgrade. Valley IconX. Any brand of pivot, one connected network. Smart irrigation. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Oh, I'm glad I got such a bunch of great listeners. Most of you guys ought to be doing comedy for a living. I'm not even going to repeat what some of you said. But anyway, current weather right now is 75 degrees, dew point 65, wind southeast at 12 miles an hour, 16 mile an hour gust. come up. I'll have the next segment, my last segment. I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden weather long ranger forecast for you. It looks good. Everything's looking good for us around here. Farmers and ranchers, we should be in pretty good shape, hopefully by the end of the week when the weekend's over. Well, there's been some rumors flying around at the coffee shops and now on social media about the $2,600 cattle tax, $500 swine tax, $6,600 or $6,000 dairy cow tax in this new $3.5 trillion infrastructure. Well, this is hot off the press from South Texas and Southwestern Cattle Association. Policy update. Cattle tax rumors are unfounded. There is a section of the measure being considered by Congress that would require the EPA to impose a fee on certain facilities that produce methane. However, it is our understanding that it applies only to oil and gas production, not agriculture. Texas and Southwestern Cattle Raiser Association is continuing to monitor the process closely to ensure that does not change, because it is obviously such a tax or a fee would be devastating to the cattle producers and something we would really oppose big time. And I read into I called a couple people and got to reading it. It says nothing about cattle in that bill. It says nothing. There's something in there about taxing methane, but couldn't you see some of those IRS auditors coming out to some of our farm and ranches in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas panhandle pulling up there to want to do an audit on methane coming out of one of your cows? They'd probably get their butt kicked and shown off the place with a shotgun. But anyway, he was so everybody keep cool. Don't get your panties in a wad. Everything will be just fine. I mean, there's crazy stuff going on out there, but hopefully it doesn't get that crazy. Cash prices on grains in Oklahoma today, soybeans are at $12.11. Wheat's at $6.72. Milo's at $5.19. And corn is at $5.49. Corn futures are around a penny lower in early trade as traders engage in some light profit taking. Soybean futures are 4 to 5 cents lower and similar. That's about how much lower they was from yesterday. Winter and spring wheat futures are choppy to higher. Market risk aversion is on the rise this week with bond yields climbing as major central banks around the world prepare to wind down easy money policies. The market is also anxious about the possibility of a government shutdown. The U.S. dollar index is at the highest level since mid-August. Crude oil futures have pushed to the highest level since July 6th, and I think they're probably about the highest level they've been in 2 or 3 years. But anyway, we got that going on. Here's some highlights from the USDA crop progress. Corn is 97% done it now, 74% mature, 18% harvested, 59% good to excellent. Soybeans are 75% done dropping their leaves, around 16% harvested, 58% are good to excellent. Cotton bolls are 60% open, there's 11% harvested, and 65% good to excellent. Winter wheat is 34% planted now at 9% emerged. And I did see some on the back roads going over there to Bessie this morning. There is some wheat creeping out the top of the ground. I even seen some alfalfa up, which is good. They did it right. They got her going good, which they had a pivot, so that was cheating. The U.S. corn crop will likely yield an average of 175 bushels per acre for a total of 14.87 billion bushels. Crop estimate consultant Dr. Michael Donnelly. That's one bushel per acre cut from his forecast from last week. He also maintained his U.S. soybean yield prediction of 50.3 per acre for a total of 4.3 billion bushels of soybeans, and his bias is neutral to slightly going lower. So it's just about right there where they've been calling it. As expected, the Senate rejected a couple bills. The Democratic effort to fund the government until early December also extends the debt limit until December of 2022. And then a GOP effort to fund the government until December without the debt limit. Senator Majority Leader Mr. Chuck from New York said keeping the government open and preventing a default is vital to our country's future. How many times have we heard that over the last 20 years? The Czech Republic has recorded a H5 bird flu outbreak at a small non-commercial region near the center of their country. Five of the 30 geese flock were killed by the virus. Cattle futures had a mildly negative response last week and early this week, but it has the report should have limited impact on the remainder of this week. The USDA reported cash cattle traded an average of 123.64 last week, down 24 cents from the week prior. Lean hog futures posted sharp to limited gains in response on last week's highly bullish hog and pig report, leaving open the wide gaps to upset the charts and limits to expand to $7 today. The pork cutout value has also climbed to the highest level in roughly a month. Cotton rallies dollar per pound past it. Cotton futures pushed as much as 3.6% yesterday to breach the $1 mark per pound for the first time in nearly a decade. It was hitting 100.07 cents. The day's highs surpassed the October 2011, which was, it didn't surpass it, but anyways, $101.55 per pound, a little over $1. The turnaround comes after hitting a 1.5 month low last week. Then prices were up for the sixth straight session yesterday. Prices are being fueled by speculators after last week's low provided a good entry point, with short covering also a likely culprit. The rise in futures could have spurred some international concern among mills, and it may have prompted some panic buying to hedge against even higher costs. Also driving the rise is China. Who else? Which is aggressively replacing strategic reserves. Untimely rains in India, as well as the bollworm infestation, also have been a supportive element for cotton futures later. Chinese government think tank sees domestic corn prices falling to bottom levels between now and December, when farmers will sell newly harvested corn amongst holidays and the Chinese New Year. Chinese corn futures hit a high in May, but since have fallen about 13%. Corn production in the country should be on a record high. USDA reports 273 million tons of corn will be cut, with the agency seeing an increase in China's stock after a couple of years of decreases. To help curb some prices, grain imports have stepped up over the last past 2 years, and the USDA still sees a strong year for the country, despite the record production forecast. Wheat and rice use in the feed will likely continue to be high, especially until corn's ease. In general, China's feed demand is expected to be strong again in the livestock sectors, and they are picking up. They're buying more beef from us. Speaking of beef, have you guys ordered your beef from a local producer? And have you got your calendar set up with one of our local processors? Just a friendly reminder, just the guys that I know off the top of my head, Monty Tucker, Jimmy Taylor, Phil Delp. I know there's a couple more I'm missing there off the top of my head. I didn't get them wrote down. I got a lot of stuff going on in this deal. I don't know if you guys can see me on Facebook, but most of the time I'm confused because we stream every day live on Facebook. You can hear us on the radio, and also If you don't get to hear the show, you can also go to KECOFM.com, tab on the air shows, and go to Today in Ag. Every one of my shows is in there. If you missed last Tuesday's show and you want a laugh, go ahead. My wife sat in the chair next to me because I couldn't believe she didn't text me during the show last Tuesday. And it's actually funnier to go to Facebook and watch it because it has the captioning going across the bottom of the screen. And I said that twice, and it said it back to back on Facebook. But she sat over in the dang chair and was listening to it, and she knows I'm hard hearing, but that was my good ear. And I finally said, "That's the fourth time you've listened to that." And she said, "But it's so funny." So anyway, I'm glad everybody got a kick out of me last week. That's the name of my show, to have it fun and try to get some people to smile. And I just got a text in on the text line. "We dig your show down here in El Dorado. Thanks for listening." I appreciate that. We got another text, and we got a text coming in from somebody that was at the Clemmy Range, because they're showing pictures of all those people riding on the they didn't have a bus to take people out there to that neon deal, so they got these this farmer ingenuity. They put some gooseneck trailers on the back of some one tons and set some hay bale straws up there, and everybody got to ride out there. And with all that OSU orange going on, it looked like pumpkin sale going on out there. Sorry, I had to throw that in there. But anyway, it was a great time out there. Thanks for texting those pictures in to me. And but yeah, you want to listen to the show or rewatch some of them, get after it. And remember, calf fries are on special at Southbound. That's my favorite, calf fries. I haven't got to try any because my show's always noon and Ashley and Jen won't save me any. But I do love my calf fries from up there at Pack Saddle Bar and Grill. Them are the best calf fries in the state of Oklahoma as far as I'm concerned. And I have friends from California that come out and quail hunt, and that's our number one place to go to just because of cold beer and calf fries. So anyway, well, when I get back after this break, we're going to be talking about the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And it looks good. And it actually looks pretty good next week. There's some chances coming in. So I'm pretty sure there's a lot of peanut farmers already got the diggers hooked up. If not, they're going to be working on getting them hooked up because we got some moisture. And those Spanish peanuts are ready to dig sometime next week. They'll be real ready to dig them, and then probably the week after, the guys with the runners and the Virginians will be getting after it, and then that's when I'll be helping out my neighbors. So anyway, so it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. First out this Thursday, September the 30th. We're expecting 3,000 to 3,500. We'll start the auction 8 a.m. From Seedling, got 317 steers long weaned off grass, weigh 5 to 8. Lubbock, Texas, 73 steers, number 6.5 to 7. Moreland got 241 steers, 8.5 to 9. Thomas, 198 steers, 7.5 to 8.5. Shadow got 35 steers, number 5 to 6. Lapout, 16 steers, 8 and a quarter. Thomas, 301 steers, 8.5 to 10.50. With Moreland, 110 steers, 8 to 9. Decatur, Texas, 67 steers, number 7.5. Thomas, 70 steers, 7.5. And Woodford, 60 steers and heifers, 7 to 8. And quite a lot of calves off the cows. Give us a call. We'll see you 8 o'clock Thursday morning. Thanks, Kim, Jerry 9 and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
Hi, I'm James with Western Equipment. Listen up, any high school junior and senior, and any parent or grandparent of any high school junior or senior. By your junior and senior year, it's time to start planning for a job. Right now, if you don't know what you want to do, check out the John Deere AgTech program through Western Equipment. It's a two-year program, and afterwards, we guarantee you a solid job at one of our 21 locations in Texas, Oklahoma, or New Mexico. Now is the time. Visit west-equip.com/careers for more information to apply.
It's so convenient for farmers and ranchers to get what you need in one place. The Wheeler General Store is the do-it-best hardware store that carries vet supplies to doctor your animals, high-pro feed, also master hand milling and smart lick tubs. Delivery is available if you need it. And at Wheeler Ag, right there on site, they've got dry fertilizer application with blending capabilities. Wheeler General Store and Wheeler Ag on Highway 152, a mile east of the four-way stop in Wheeler, Texas.
You can also find the Wheeler General Store on Facebook and Instagram.
This hour's weather is brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal. That's what you'll find at High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer, providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, and sacks. Check them out on Facebook and online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, I'm back. We have the Long Ranger coming up. And that person, McGee from El Dorado, would you text me in the KECO Ag text line that you text into just a little bit ago and tell me how much rain you got down there? I'd appreciate it. And here's the Long Ranger forecast that looks really good if you're a farmer or rancher. I hope I don't have to mow the yard again. But anyway, right now it's 74 degrees. The Nathan Brewer dew point is 65. Humidity's at 72. Winds are south, southeast, 9 miles an hour. Gusting up to 13 whole miles an hour. Today we have a slight chance, 20% chance of rain. Tonight we have a 20% chance of rain. Did any of you guys notice how bad that lightning and thunder was last night? I mean, that bird dog of mine is not scared of nothing. She looked up twice last night because it was close to the house, but it was pretty fierce lightning and thunderstorm. Tomorrow, high of 85, and we're supposed to get up to 91 today, and I don't see that happening because we're 74 right now. High of 85 tomorrow, 60% chance of rain tomorrow night. Low of 62, rain chances very likely at 70%. Friday, 80% chance of rain all day. Friday night, and high of 76. So feel the temperature out there right now, and that's how high it'll be Friday total. Friday night, 70% chance of rain with a low of 58. Saturday, a 40% chance of rain at 79 degrees. That's perfect. Winds will be out of the west at 3 to 6 Saturday. So all you farmers and ranchers that are headed over there to Shamrock with me for the Route 66 Showdown Ryder Cup with the Sarah Golf Course, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be nice. I ran into a friend of mine at Canute when I stopped there at the store on my way back from Bessie, Mr. Jeff Snayberger. And he wanted to know how I have time to go golfing and farm and ranch and do the show. And I told him, just get your stuff done. Don't worry about it and don't look back. Quit going to the coffee shops. But anyway, Sunday looks like it's going to be mostly sunny at 78 degrees. And next week, there's a 20 to 40% chance of rain in 5 of those days next week. But we'll worry about that. And hopefully Lacey gets over the stomach flu. And we'll be back on the show with me next Tuesday, so she can give us what's happening in the Long Ranger. This is for some of my friends out in the Texas Panhandle, the USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service, as we call it, the NRCS, in Texas has announced the first funding application deadline of October 29th. Of 2021 for the Environmental Quality Incentives Program, EQIP. Second funding application deadline will be February 11th of 2022 of next year. Applications are taken year-round for NRCS programs, but deadlines are announced to rank and fund eligible conservation projects. Producers interested in signing up for EQIP should submit applications to their local USDA service center. If already a USDA client, a producer can submit applications online via farmers.com. EQIP, I know a lot of you guys have participated in there, whether you're Oklahoma or Texas, is a voluntary program that provides financial and technical assistance to agriculture producers. Technical assistance is provided without a fee for NRCS specialists to help landowners and land managers plan and implement conservation practices to help them meet their plant, animal, air, and related sources. Hey, before I forget, because we got about 7 minutes left on the show, first person No, let's go with second person. Second person to text in their name. Make sure your full name, not Larry or Jerry or Barry. I need Larry Smith. I need your full name. Text in how much rain you got last night. And second person text in, I'll give you a free set of tickets to Steve Warner concert at the Sugar Creek Casino in Hinton, October 2nd. And, man, the people, McGee from El Dorado, they didn't get a drop. They didn't get a drop last night. And then got in, finally, my co-partner here on air, he finally figured out that I've named my dew point after him, the Nathan Brewer dew point. You're welcome. All right, we got it. Oh, man. Adrian Reyes, Roos, 0.25. You're the winner. Thank you very much for participating. And then we got another one in. Hey, I'll just give you, I had three sets of tickets, so I'm going to, James Bennett, you didn't get a drop, but since you did it correctly, I'm going to give you a free set of tickets. So you guys is winning those tickets. I'm going to put your name on them, and they'll be at the front desk at the south end of our building when you want to pick it up. And then we'll go from there. We got the Tradio Chopper co-pilot rainfall at Vinson, America last night was zero also. And I know that because I have land down there between Willow and in that area. And one of my favorite 12 county commissioners texted me and said, I got zero drops at my place. And so that's 6 miles straight west of Willow. So I didn't get any rain down there, but Willow got a half inch. And Steven got a couple tents at his place. So anyway, but that deal I read up on the Equip, that's for Texas. Oklahoma hasn't put out their email yet. So don't be calling Beckham County, Kiowa County, Greer. Don't be calling them. This was for Texas only. So that's for my friends out there in the Eastern Texas Panhandle. Well, fertilizer is and has. Oh, before I get on the fertilizer deal. New news coming out of the Hobart Stockyards. Before I don't remember. My wife tells me quit saying forget and always say remember. The Hobart Stockyards is making a change, and their change is going to be on having their sheep and goat sales starting November 6th at 12 o'clock. They're going to start having their sheep and goat sales on the first Saturday of the month. So according to the information I got here, there will not be a October sale on sheep and goats. So get your, but it'll be the first Saturday. They're switching from, they was on the last Saturday or the third Saturday. Now they're switching to the first. And by the way, call Rex for any of your cattle and buying or selling needs. And they're actually having their sale today. Friday is the Elk City Livestock Auction. And Monday is Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction. Call Mr. Brandon Hickey to get your buying or selling needs if you need to. And with this rain we got, the wheat pasture is going to be growing. Remember, we've been talking about it for the last 4 weeks. Keep eye out on them army worms because it's time for another cycle. So if you see Zach Henderson and I was talking about that over there at the Clemmy Ranch today. If we're right, we might be wrong because him and I are probably not good together because we learned something at the peanut deal last Friday. But 10 to 14 days after you see the moss flying, whether they're yellow or white, they've laid their eggs and the army worms will be coming out 10 to 14 days after you see them flying for the most part. And if that's not true, you can text me in and tell me what's correct. So you guys, a lot of people putting in wheat pasture right now for the early wheat pasture. They dusted it in. They got a great rain. But fertilizer is and always has been a significant production expense, whether you are growing corn, cotton, or pasture forage. Fertilizer costs have greatly increased tremendously over the last few decades, but especially in the last year. Number one, get you a soil test. Adequate soil fertility is one key to successful forage and livestock. Number two, choosing the most adequate fertilizer source. Several fertilizer sources are commercially available. And then the timing and the rate of fertilizer applications. Four, utilize those forged legumes. And we'll be talking about that, I think, next week with Kent Watkins coming back in. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed today's show. Appreciate the participation on the text line. And you guys, hopefully get some rain in the next few days. So have a great day, and God bless. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
You've got it locked on Western Oklahoma and the Eastern Texas Panhandle's home for today's best country. Number